WLOVA, Bulova, Washington. WABC, New York, 880 on your dial.
Monday, August 25th, we're speaking to you from Brooklyn, New York, where right now the most burning question in the world is, who will win the pennant? Well, the two teams trying to settle this momentous issue, the Dodgers and the Cardinals, are gathered around us here in the main ballroom of the Hotel Bossert for a special pennant race party of Vox Pop, the voice of the people, presented by the makers of Bromo Seltzer. Every week, Vox Pop takes you to places in the news and interviews the people who make the nation's headlines. And tonight's headline makers are the finest pair of ball clubs that ever came down the stretch neck and neck. In a moment, Park Johnson and
first,
introducing the visiting challengers, in second place by a mere 1.5 games, the St. Louis Cards. And introducing the league leaders, the pride and joy of the local populace, the unpredictable, indisputable Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, here's that smiling Texan, Park Johnson, to throw the first pitch for Vox Pop. Park?
Yes, sir, Dick Stark, and if we get out of here alive tonight, it's going to be a wonder, isn't it, huh? Well, we'll try not to step on anybody's toes. Folks, one of the fastest men in any league. He's a batter who's always batting for the league lead. And he's a real team player, too, I'm told. And as pleasant a chap as you'd ever want to meet, we want you to meet in person, Pete Reeser. How are you, Pete?
Pretty good, Park.
Pete, some game yesterday, huh?
Yeah, pretty good ball game.
Say, how about that guy, Pollock? Is he any good?
Pretty good pitcher.
Pretty good pitcher.
I see enough of him for one day.
Did you foul one yesterday, Pete?
I believe I did foul one.
You fouled one. Well, never mind. It'll be another day in, and, well, Pollock's sitting down here. He'll be on a little bit later, and we'll let him talk to himself. Pete, who's your roommate?
Pee Wee Reese.
Is he out here in front?
No, Pee Wee took his lunch at the show tonight.
Oh, he did? Good. Well, that's a fine job. You and Pee Wee room together. Did you have this business of room captains on your team?
No, Pee Wee's always captain in our room.
Oh, no. Well, now, explain to folks what a room captain is.
Well, a room captain, he makes the other fellow answer all the phone calls and, well, in other words, do his dirty work for
him. The fellow that's the captain is the man that had the best day that day, isn't that right?
Well, we don't work it that way.
You're always captain. You and Pee Wee. Yeah, Pee Wee's always captain. Well, you're mighty nice guy. You've been around long enough to tell me this, Pete. I want you to team up these men now. What have they, Durante and Lombardi, in common?
Big noses.
That's right. All right. Now, wait a minute. I got two more sets for you. Got two more sets. What does Clark Gable and Cliff Nelson have in common, huh?
They have big ears.
That's right. And Park Johnson, huh? All right. Now, watch this one. What do they have in common? Neville Chamberlain and Frankie Frisch.
Well, I'd say umbrellas, since they don't have it still.
Yes, sir, they did. Frankie really walked up and down with that umbrella, but they didn't call a game. Well, you caught all three of those on the fly, Pete, and I think we ought to pause a minute because you deserve a little something for that good work. Now, to help drag down a fly that Myers, a creepy crusty here, or some of the guys might hit tomorrow, bring a butterfly net. It might be of a little assistance to you, Pete. I wouldn't advise you to get out there on the field with that, these Brooklyn fans.
I'd rather use that, though.
You bet your life. Now, Pete, yes or no on this one. Was there ever a left-handed catcher in baseball?
Yes, I believe there was.
There was. And the last one that I know anything about was Joe Wall with Brooklyn in 1902. Brooklyn has most anything, don't you, Pete?
That's right, they
you
do.
You bet. They got the best rooters in the world and all like that in the best. Well, we'll pass that up a minute. So tell me, you were left-handed one time.
Yeah, I'm 39. I had my arm operated on in Elmira, New York, and I played in the outfield for 2 weeks left-handed.
You did?
That's right.
Did you throw pretty well?
Well, pretty good, but I'm a little better now, I think.
Yeah? You could get it to the first? First off, no, like that, huh? They want you to get in front of this microphone here. We want all the customers to see that. Among the Dodgers, who would you say is the champ lobby sitter?
Well, Phelps was.
He was, huh? Who is?
I imagine Hammond's got the crown now.
Old Luke got it?
Old Luke, he's got it.
What does the fellow do sitting in the lobby all day and part of the evening?
Sleep most of the time.
Sleep, huh? Luke around here? Where's Luke? Never mind, we'll pass on that. Lots of fans out there watching Vesson and all the other coaches every time they're out there and trying to catch the signals. I know I have. I sit there and a fellow touches his cap and he kicks a little bit with his foot. And I never can tell what's going on. Would you mind digging up some of the more common old-time signals without telling anything that you use?
Well,
such as, for instance?
Touch and blue a lot of times could mean a bunt.
Touch and blue, what do you mean?
And our uniforms had blue cap and a blue stocking.
I see. Blue touch blue, that means bunt, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of bunt. That is if you get it.
Yeah, if you get it. Shoot.
Sometimes we don't get it.
You got another one?
Well, a lot of times pulling up the belt with your right hand would mean a hit run or something like that.
That's the kind of stuff you use,
isn't
it? Pete says the fans out in the stands are constantly yelling around Brooklyn. In fact, I've never heard them quiet. Did it bother you at all?
Well, I wouldn't say they do it. I wouldn't say they don't.
Suppose you saw a muffler fly out there sometime and they holler
well,
at
you,
why
hear
you
them
bum,
there.
Why do you...
You can hear them.
Does it affect you at all?
No, we don't worry about that.
How do you figure ahead of time, or do you figure ahead of time, whether a pitcher's going to throw you a curve, fastball, or what? You got any way? Do you try to figure it, or...?
Well, not all the time. I always try to pick out the best ball.
Are you a guess hitter, or...?
Well, sometimes I might be a guess hitter, but I still try to pick out the best ball.
Okay, Pete. Now, wait a minute here. Here's three fast ones for you again. Let's see. What ball player are you reminded of when I say a rapid-fire gun?
Junior Thompson.
That's right. All Lewis would do, wouldn't it? How about a machine used in a wheat field? What's that? That's a tough one.
That could be McCormick.
That is McCormick. McCormick Reaper. Yes, sir. How about a rock dropped in a quiet pool?
He got me there.
What happens when you drop a...
Ripple.
Ripple is right. Yes, sir. Well, they tell me, Pete, that you don't have one. So, some nights when you're not playing ball and the cards are, you might want to listen in. So we brought you a nice little portable radio, the best we could find. And luck for you all the time, Pete. Bye-bye. Wally, you've often heard the old expression, a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Well, I want you to read a letter from a man who certainly found the shortest distance to get relief from headaches. Will
okay,
you?
Fox, you bet. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Harry B. Day of Providence, Rhode Island writes, I used to suffer occasionally from severe headaches. They were so bad I was cranky, could not bear any noise. I tried several products without getting relief, and last week I had another severe headache. My wife went to the drugstore and got a bottle of Bromo Seltzer. I was surprised and delighted to find my headache had left me after taking a dose. I'll always have Bromo Seltzer in the house.
Yes, Wally, and millions know that every word Mr. Day wrote is true. Many families have written to us that they've used Bromo Seltzer for three entire generations. So the next time your head is throbbing with pain, and your nerves have gone haywire and your stomach feels upset, take Bromo Seltzer according to directions on the label. See what a difference it makes when you fight headache miseries three ways at the same time. Okay, Wally, on with the Dodgers and the Cards.
Yes, sir, and in this instance, it happens to be a card, but what a card he is. To all baseball fans, everyone knows the great card catcher, Gus Mancuso. Now, before we get serious on this, before we get funny on this interview, Gus, I want you to tell me exactly about how many games by which the Cards are going to win this pennant.
I don't care how many, just as long as we win.
Well, you think you're going to do that, too, don't you?
Absolutely.
Deep down in your heart. All right, good luck to you. Now, by the way, I think when you were here with the Giants a few years ago, there was a remark made about Brooklyn. Are the Giants still in the league, Gus?
After the sorry experience we had with that remark before,
yeah.
I think there's eight clubs in the league.
You do? In other words, you're not going to get yourself out on a limb.
No.
All right. Now, in the poem Casey at the Bat, they mention five different players. Can you tell me two of them?
Two? I might be able to tell you three. I think Casey was the hitter. And Slim,
he was the one who didn't pitch.
One that struck out. And I think Slim and Blake were on the base.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir. And for that, I'm going to give you a nice little reward. Bring out that 5 pounds of eating tobacco, will you? For Gus
Mancuso.
Boy, you're really picked up.
Well, I don't know why you know it or not, but Gus really takes a war, you see.
You're rarely without it, aren't you, guys?
That's right.
Well, we had that in mind when we got that for you.
None of the Brooklyn fans could have sent something.
I don't think so. Gus, I've often wondered, a fellow like you, now you get a hitter up there at the plate, whether it be a rookie or an old-timer. It probably wouldn't work so well with the old-timers. Just what do you say to him when he's trying to take a smack at that apple?
Well, sometimes it's not nice to say some of the things over the... There, that what we might say.
That's right.
And other times, might he be even talking about honey or anything to try to get his mind off of what's been pitched.
But the idea is to get his mind off of it if you can, huh?
Yeah, so either that or he'd be calling for the wrong pitch.
I think you got something there. We've received out here today, as you know, a little bit of water from the heavens. And you
little
fellas
bit?
Are, yeah. So it rained out the game. Now, the point is, this will interest many of the Brooklyn fans, I think, all over the country. If this game tomorrow is stopped also by rain, what happens to these two games? Must they be played in St. Louis?
These games must be transferred to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're rained out at St. Louis, they're washed out of the schedule.
I see.
Back in 1933, we had a little experience of that when I was with the Giants. We
mm-hmm.
had some of the games with the Cubs rained out, and we had to transfer them to Chicago, and we played all of them there.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, in the leagues, of course, you fellas ride a lot of trains, don't you? What is the shortest and longest jump in the National League?
What is the shortest and longest?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine from Boston to St. Louis would be about the longest, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And what's the shortest?
Philadelphia to New York.
Oh.
All right.
That wouldn't meet in the polygraph, would it, guys?
No.
One more question here. I want to know if you can tell me the names of Connie Mack's famous old $100,000 engine.
Well, that's going back a little before my time, but I might be able to name them.
All right, fire away.
I think they had McGinnis on first, Eddie Collins I know on second, and Home Run Baker on third.
Yep.
And I believe Jack Barry at shortstop.
Jack Barry was at shortstop. Well, you know, when you brought up this hunting here a little bit ago, that was a very odd thing, because we have a little gift for you that goes with hunting. Will you hand Gus, please, that lovely pair of binoculars? Let me have them here. I think you're going to enjoy using these a lot. And thank you very much for the interview, guys.
You're welcome.
Okay.
That's right,
Gus. He's an old Houston boy, too. Now, just before I introduce this gentleman here, I want to say that the Brooklyn Ball Club tells me that there'll be 25,000 unreserved seats on sale at the park tomorrow morning at 10:30. So you folks go out there and get them if you want to see a swell. Well, it's a doubleheader, isn't it? You know, folks, all over the country, the Brooklyn fan is something that folks read about and hear about, but you've got to be out here to know just what he is. Well, there's a lot of Brooklyn fans out here in front of us tonight, and we've grabbed one out of the audience. We want you, who've never seen a ball game in Brooklyn, to meet a Brooklyn fan. So here he is, Eddie Batan. Is that right?
That's right.
Eddie, do you see many ball games out here?
Half of the season.
About half of the season. Do you think that Brooklyn's got a good chance to win?
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. do you think, Eddie, that the fans have got much to do with helping a team to win or to help or hate a team?
Oh, sure. I got a lot of followings with me. I'm very helpful.
How do you mean you got a lot of followings with you?
Well, I do most of the hollering for them and the hollow with me.
Is that so? Well, do you bring out any good luck signs or anything to help the boys along?
Oh, sure.
Is that so?
I carry along a horseshoe with me.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite hat.
Uh-huh. Well, now, do you ever find it necessary to give the boys any advice out there in the field? You...
Oh, I keep on hollering and watch my signal.
Yeah? Well, do they pay any attention to you?
Oh, they do? See, once they get a hit, it's good to my credit.
Is that so? Say, who's this guy that's always sitting out there yelling cookie whenever Lazaretta comes to the bat?
That's the fellow that's got the big laryngitis.
Big laryngitis. Well, it takes a big laryngitis to make a big noise. That's the way you figure?
That's right.
That may be right. I don't know, but he certainly makes a lot of noise. Eddie, you go to ballgame next year?
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah?
They couldn't win the second game without me.
That's so. You must have got in late.
We had tough breaks on our place game.
You married?
Yes, yes.
Your wife like baseball?
Oh, well, she went to a few ball games.
Uh-huh.
But Friday, I had a little trouble.
How's that?
Oh, I told my wife I'm going down to attend some business.
Yeah?
And so happened it was Ladies' Day, and I went down to see the ball game.
Uh-huh.
I told her I went to go to down for business.
Yeah?
I went to the game, and so happened I read Barbara happened to say a few words about me over the air.
Oh, I see. What happened then, Eddie?
My wife never tunes in the radio. So happened that day she tuned in the radio.
Well, I watched that.
Eddie, suppose the score is tied, see, and Walker's on third, and the next man up is the old champion to hit the thing, you know. It's the ninth inning. You win or lose, whether you get a hit. Tell me what kind of advice you shot out there. Go back up to the microphone now.
How many outs?
Well, there's two outs, Steve. You've got to get a hit now or you lose. Thornton. Thornton, tell me how you are in charge of.
Oh, you mean that pitch piece of the bat?
Yes, Thornton. Well,
come on. There, kid. A little bump will do it. Screech play, kid. And all of a sudden, the pitcher's the ball and the tinker's gonna bunt. And what do you think, Pete Reason? Hits the clock and goes right over, and everybody looks at the time.
Okay, well, thank you, Eddie. We're glad to have a real Brooklyn rooter with us. Now, I'll tell you. Here's a nickel to take care of your first fare to see part of the World Series. And in order that you may carry your collar and cuffs with you, we have a nice little traveling case for you to take along.
Thank you very much.
Lots of luck to you.
And I hope Brooklyn wins the pennant.
Yes, sir. You betcha. All right, well, how about it? I think that was a dirty trick, Parks, to give that fellow 5 cents in a suitcase because he may have to go to St. Louis, and that would be bad, wouldn't it? Well, you talk about heroes in a ball club. I don't think there has been a greater hero in Brooklyn. They'd elect this guy mayor tomorrow if he wanted to be. The great fielder who is now batting 330 flat, Dixie Walker. Dixie, how'd you get that handle, Dixie?
Well, my dad was the original Dixie walking baseball. Back in 1908 or 10, I believe it was, one of those came up to the Washington Senators as a pitcher.
That's right, I remember that.
And you did?
Well, I remember reading of it. I know that.
And when he came up, naturally come from the South, why, they nicknamed him Dixie. And he's been called Dixie all these years. And then when I came along, and I came up in this section of the country while the newspaper men who had known my dad when he was pitching immediately started calling me Dixie. And now I have a younger brother who's over at Columbus, and a lot of the fellows call him Dixie. And I have a little boy who's 4 months, or rather 4 years, who is
he's another
really
Dixie.
Named Dixie.
Good. Well, that's from Alabama, of course. Now, they talk about the cousins, you know, that these batters, hitters like you have. Just what pitcher is your cousin?
Well, I haven't found a cousin since I've been playing in baseball.
No?
I found a lot of fellows that were tough, but I haven't found any cousins yet. In fact, if I had a cousin, I wouldn't tell anybody because he might hear about it.
Say, Dixie, that game yesterday there, would you recommend, as a result of that last game, that Mr. Wyatt be placed on the pinch hitting list?
Well, I've thought all along that Wyatt wouldn't make a bad pinch hitter. Our club's been a little short on right-handers for pinch hitting.
Uh-huh.
And I really feel that Wyatt is a man that you could afford to stick in a clutch occasionally when we need a man who's a right-hand hitter to help us out. I believe Wyatt's a good man to stick in there occasionally.
Do you think he gets that first pitch? You think he gets that first pitch correctly?
Well, I don't know whether Wyatt gets that pitch correctly or not. The time that he was up previous to that, I had told Wyatt that as he passed me going up the plate to look for the curveball on the first pitch.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, he didn't look for it because there was a curveball that broke right over the plate and he took it.
Uh-huh.
And then on the next time up, why, I saw Leo walk up and have a little talk with him, and I wouldn't be at all surprised what Leo said to him, look for the curveball, and he listened to him.
I see. Dixie, there are two names written on the National League ball. Whose are they? On the official National League ball.
Well, there's quite a few names written on the ball. I'm not sure exactly what names you're speaking of.
No, there's only two names written on the ball. Men. Two men's names. Who makes the ball?
Spalding, I think, makes the ball.
That's right. Now, that's one name. What's the other one?
Would that be Ford Frick?
It certainly is Ford Frick. Yes, sir. And your prize for that, my young friend, is a very lovely old-time antique rustic gate. But don't you ever let...
I've got a farm down in Alabama, and it'll just fit.
Don't you ever swing that way, though, because you just keep on swinging like you're doing. Now, do you get wet feet out there on some of these night ball games, scooting around in feet?
Yes, I do.
You do? Feet get pretty wet, huh?
That's right.
Does it bother you?
Well, I can't say that it bothers me, but I can't say that it helps either. It costs money for those shoes, I can assure you of that.
That's right. I noticed an interesting thing in the paper yesterday. A permanent cast is being made of the hand of a great ball player to be put in a museum. Who is it?
Well, I happen to read about that, too.
Yeah.
And that's Bob Feller.
That's right, in favor. You bet your life. By the way, what would you get the speed of his pitches?
Well, I remember a few years back when Lefty Gomez and Van Mungo and a few other fellows were taken up to West Point, I believe, and they tested the speed of their throws by breaking a piece of paper
mm-hmm.
from a certain distance. And if I remember correctly, it was around 80 miles per hour.
Okay.
And I imagine Feller is a little faster than they were, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if what his is about 85.
Well, I think it'd be closer to 100 on actual tests. Now, one more question. How high does the average pineapple tree grow?
Well, I was down in Havana this spring, but I didn't learn that.
You did? Well, of course, it's a bush. Anyhow, I've got something here for you that I think you're going to enjoy. I understand you're quite a hunter. And this is a beautiful automatic shotgun right from Abercrombie & Fitch, one of the loveliest models they have. But it won't hit cardinals, so take it easy. Thank you very much.
Hey, 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 hey.
Young man, you're interrupting
the
broadcast.
Oh,
you know that?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? What's
yeah.
wrong?
Well, I know I'm interrupting the broadcast, but what I want to know is, what do you mean by pulling a shindig like this without telling me and the gang about it?
Who are you and the gang?
Me and the gang? Why, we're the guys that's going to win the pennant for the Dodgers. You see, we sit out in the bleachers. When a right field hitter comes to bat, we yell, Dixie! That's walking. Get back up for that big palooka. And when a straightaway hitter it gets up at bat, we yell, Hey, T! That's reason. Get on your horse. And when a left field hitter steps up, we yell, Hey, Ducky! That's Medley. Get ready, he's in a suit for you. Yes, and me and the gang, we tell the boys how to do it.
Well, with all this masterminding and excitement, aren't you afraid you'll burst the blood vessel or get a headache?
Nah, I got the answer for that, too. Whenever I get a headache, it's Roma Salsa for me.
Well, you certainly said a mouthful there, young man, but seriously, there's nothing I know of that is quite like Roma Salsa for bringing quick relief from a headache. You see, a headache is like a vicious circle in that it often involves head, nerves, and stomach. The pain almost always disturbs your nervous system, so you're likely to feel jumpy and irritable. With jumpy nerves often goes an upset stomach, each misery tending to make the headache worse. Now, the reason Bromo Seltzer is so successful in bringing prompt relief is this. It works three ways at the same time. It contains medically recognized properties that first relieve the pain itself. Second, help calm jittery nerves. Third, help settle upset stomach. That's why you get such speedy relief. Feel better so quickly when you take Bromo Seltzer. Of course, if you're troubled with persistent or recurring headaches, you should see your doctor. But for an occasional splitting headache, take Bromo Seltzer. Fight headache miseries three ways at the same time for truly quick relief. Okay, Parker.
Okay, folks, you know, if you want to test a fella, put him in a tough spot and see what happens. Well, here's a young man who was put in a tough spot yesterday. He lost the ball game 3-2, but he walked off the field with the applause loud and long of all Brooklyn fans because he's a swell pitcher and a swell fellow. Howard Pollitt. Howard, you're just up from Houston. This was your second game, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
20.
20 years old. Down in Houston, how many games did you win?
20.
20, and how many did you lose this year?
3.
So that's, you see, you've got 21-4 all told, huh?
All told.
What's your old hometown?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, Louisiana. Okay, well, Howard, tell me, do the cars eat vitamins, really, vitamin pills instead of candy?
Well, most of them do.
Did you eat some yesterday?
Yes.
Next time, take 2 extras, will you? Because that guy Watch, you know, in a pinch is a bad boy, isn't he? What'd you pitch that fella?
Well, it was a curveball right on the knees.
If you had it to do again, would you pitch him the same thing?
Same pitch.
You think he'd hit it if you did it next time?
I'd take my chances.
You really would?
Yes, sir.
It was a good ball.
It was.
Well, maybe he was sort of inspired. Is that it?
Could be.
Howard, watch this for now. A fisherman uses it. Some folks dunk it, and Fitzsimmons throws it. What is it?
Sinker.
Sinker is right. What tipped you off? What folks dunk on that, huh? Well, anyway, for such brilliant deduction, Here's something we hope that you'll use freely on every team except the Dodgers. Bring him the bucket of whitewash, will you? Okay. Now, Howard, why do you think the Cards will win the pennant? You told me just now that they would. Why do you think so?
Well, if it takes spirit and hustle and youth, I believe we should win it.
You feel that every man on the team feels that way about it?
I think every man is... morale is great.
Well, I tell you, Howard, we've got a very special guest we're going to bring on here in a minute. So I'm going to give you also a portable radio so that you can tune in on the Dodgers when they're playing a night game and you're not. And then on top of that, here's your portable radio with a strap over it and everything. And on top of that, a very special extra prize. Somebody's on the other end of this telephone. Find out who it is, will you?
Hello? Yes? Yes? Yes. Yes, it is.
He says, one moment, please. That must have been Central, wasn't it, Howard?
Yes, sir.
You got him yet?
No.
Nobody?
Hello? Yes. Hello, Mother?
All right, now tell her what happened yesterday, Howard. We won't keep you any longer. Go ahead and talk to your mother just as long as you want to. How about it, Wally? You ready?
Oh, that's all right. Dodgers team, our next guest, and anybody across the country, all you do is mention the name, and he's there for you. Charlie Dresden. Charlie, for once and forever and for all times, I want to get this straight while we're here in Brooklyn. Can anybody on the Dodgers team out-talk Leo DeRosa?
Well, there might be one man in captivity, and that's his boss, Larry McPhail.
Yeah, Larry's not so bad at that. We've had him on the program, and he just really runs right off, don't he? Little problem. A pitcher hits the first half of the first inning. A pitcher throws 16 straight consecutive balls. They're called. Then he throws 9 strikes consecutively. What's the score of the ball game?
16 consecutive straight balls.
Yeah.
Let's see, that's 4 men. That'd be 1 run and the base is full.
How many runs?
1.
Oh, no. What's the score of the ball game?
He said 16, didn't he?
Uh-huh. I mean, pardon me. I'm all mixed up here.
Why?
I meant 35.
You're right, absolutely.
Why? Yes, Bart.
Just a minute, if you and Charlie don't mind. Charlie, you know this gentleman here. One of baseball's immortals. We want the folks to meet Pete, the great Alexander. Hi, Pete. Pete, just one question. Just one question, Pete. Who was the greatest hitter that you ever pitched to?
The greatest hitter I ever pitched to was Roger Hornsby.
Yeah?
And I battled him for a little better than 10 years. Asked every other pitcher in the league what they did to get rid of him. Finally, the only pitchers I could find out that had any luck with him was those who were on the same club with him.
Uh-huh.
So I went and got on the club with him.
Nice work, Pete. We're glad to have you with us. And let Wally and Charlie Dresden go ahead.
Charlie, I understand that... Well, we have time for just maybe one more little thing here. Whom would you consider the two most famous Irishmen of baseball fame?
The two famous Irishmen of baseball?
Uh-huh.
Well, one of mine would be John McGraw.
Yes? Who's the other?
And the other one would be Johnny Everett.
It would be.
That's my
thing. Well, that's fine. Now, I understand that our time is gone, but here is a lovely candid camera, and I understand you go in for photography like that. And this megaphone, stand on the sidelines. It'll help to get the correct... Friends, next week, Box Pop is going to visit something as typical of American life as a baseball game between the Dodgers and the Cards. Yes, sir. For the first time in their 10 years of broadcasting, Park Johnson and Wally Butterworth are going to box prop the folks at a real state fair, the Indiana Fair at Indianapolis, Indiana. So be sure to tune in again next Monday night, same time, same station, box prop. Until then, this is Richard Stark saying goodnight for Brummel Seltzer. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.